This is 304B, a DC's Batman Red Robin comics fanfic, written by Hearts Logos and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated PG-13 and contains the pairing Tim Drake, Roy Harper, Jason Todd, with additional tags for alternate universe, apartments, roommates, polyamory negotiations, miscommunication, mistaken identity, getting together. There's a hot guy who moved in across the hall, Roy says. And Jason turns around and looks at him.
Excuse me?
I said, there's a hot guy who moved in across the hall, Roy repeats. And yes, that is Jason raising an eyebrow like the sassiest motherfucker he isn't. I'm telling you because I don't want you saying something out loud and embarrassing everyone who's ever known you when you see him. Did you just say that there's a hot guy who moved in across the hall? Jason says, fully turning his chair around to look at him. You met the new neighbor. The one across the hall. As in, across the hall in the apartment that Corey used to live in with Donna before they finally realized they were too classy for this shithole and moved to a penthouse. That apartment? The apartment that's been empty for 4 months, 2 weeks, and 5 days since they moved out. That apartment.
I'm concerned about how detailed a question that was.
Like you haven't been keeping track since they moved out. And how weird is it to see the door closed and not have naked ladies randomly knocking on our door to borrow shit?
Okay, I see your point.
But why are you so intense over someone moving in? No, I am not getting intense about the fact that someone's moved in, Jason says, and he has this prissy look on his face. Roy doesn't think he's ever seen Jason look prissy before. It's highly disturbing, and disturbingly arousing at the same time. It makes Roy worry about the conditioning his dick has been having behind his fucking back. I'm getting intense because you said that he's a hot guy.
I'm just saying it like it is, Roy says. And I'm giving you a warning so you don't fucking make us an enemy for life the first time you meet him.
Jason giggles, high-pitched and terrifying as he spins his chair back towards his desk. Jesus, Roy whispers, pressing against the opposite wall. Don't do that. Jason then titters and resumes working on his sketches.
Oh, Roy, I love you so fucking much. I'm going to enjoy the next few months.
Roy wonders if that means that Jason's going to do his damn level best to get the hot guy to move out, or if Jason's going to have someone assassinated.
I'm so fucking confused.
This is what Roy learns about the occupant of 304B across the hall. He is normally quiet, except for when he's having loud sex. Or what Roy hopes is loud sex, because otherwise he should probably be calling the cops. He seems to be home a lot. Maybe he's like Jason and works from home. Some sort of independent work, maybe. The landlady, apparently, adores him. He's sweet, and he's smart for his age, and he's from a respectable lot. Roy isn't sure what that means, because according to her, Jason is from a respectable lot, and Jason is kind of a shithole who went through the foster system and came out an even bigger asshole than he was when he went in. According to Jason, at least. Roy is pretty sure that no one can start off an asshole and then turn into whatever it is Jason is now. Renaissance men don't just come bursting out of the foster care system like they're fucking Venus on the shores of a beach riding a giant clamshell. Especially not Gotham's foster system. Which is what Jason is. Every single fucking wet dream to ever exist placed in leather jeans, stupid t-shirts, glasses, multiple masters, two doctorates, a publisher, a manager for his art gallery, and a goddamn ability to make people orgasm by eating. Ridiculously unfair. Not that Roy is complaining about it. Really? Point being, Roy is pretty sure that the guy across the hall is some sort of miracle given to man, because their landlady adores him. She thinks Jason is a brat, which is sort of true, and she thinks Roy is a musclehead, which is not as true. Their landlady is a fairly good judge of these things. After all, she firmly believed Corey was a princess, and that Donna was a goddess, and she cried when they left. Now, according to their landlady, the tenant of 304B is an angel wrapped in light, dipped in sugar, presented with a smile of clouds. Her words. Exactly. When Roy tells Jason this, Jason just stares at him, looks toward their front door, and cries. He just puts his head into his hands and cries. Roy is starting to wonder if maybe Jason is having a mental breakdown, except Jason is kissing him and laughing and groaning all at the same time. It's just a little bit distracting. Now, Roy knows that Jason has a boyfriend. He knows, because Jason told him point blank. Roy is okay with this. They're not exactly a couple, and God knows how many times he hooked up with Corey and Donna. Jason is his friend, arguably his best friend, and they're roommates. There is something to be said of friendship that can survive living together. Jason may or may not be Roy's sort of life partner. Roy may or may not be Jason's sort of life partner. And if they happen to bring in other people along the way, well then, that's cool too. Roy hasn't met Jason's boyfriend, but he knows that Jason talks to him about everything. And sometimes, Roy asks Jason questions that Jason, in turn, asks his boyfriend. And then he comes back to Roy covered in hickeys, bite marks, scratches, a terrifyingly blissful look on his face, and answers. Great answers. Jason is the magic eight ball that Roy asks things to. It's just that instead of shaking said magic eight ball, you send that magic eight ball off to get shagged thoroughly. Anyway, the thing is that Roy doesn't know jack shit about Jason's boyfriend aside from the fact that, apparently, when he smiles, he makes Jason's balls want to crawl away. It's actually a highly informative detail. It figures that Jason would have someone like that in his life. It's only fair. If Jason's going to go through life, bowling people over with his smiles and his wit and his sarcasm and his everything, it's really only logical that the universe balance that out with someone who's going to rip Jason down from his pinnacle of perfection. God knows it isn't Roy. Roy's pretty sure he's just an enabler. And that's the first thing Roy thinks of when he meets the tenant of 304B. Jason would fucking love his smile. Roy officially meets the mysterious but hot tenant of 304B for the first time when they're in the basement laundry room. A guy Roy barely recognizes from the floor below them is trying to flirt with hot guy from 304B. Hot guy from 304B is basically trying to ignore him and generally looking uncomfortable. Roy gets ready to step in when the idiot tries to touch hot guy from 304B. And then hot guy from 304B smiles. Just looks up and smiles. He doesn't even say anything. He just smiles. And the guy is stopping, slowly backing away, stammering an excuse, and running out of the laundry room. Roy stares. Hot guy from 304B turns to him, blinks, and smiles. It's a different smile. Thankfully. Kind of shy, a little embarrassed, mostly pleased. Hi. Later that day, when Roy's done with the laundry, after about an hour's worth of conversation with Tim, what a nice name! Roy grabs Jason by the shoulders and shakes him. His name is Tim, and I think my dick will never understand the difference between fear and arousal again. Jason stares at him, small smudges of green and blue paint on his cheeks and the bridge of his nose, eyes momentarily crossing, before he snorts, kisses Roy's forehead, gently pushes him away, slaps his ass, and says, "That took longer than I thought. Go jerk off somewhere, precious. I'm working hard for the money here." Tim. Tim Drake, in 304B, wears glasses, suits that probably cost more than the rent on their apartments, t-shirts just as stupid as Jason's, jeans that are long enough to bunch at his ankles and trip him if he's not careful, piercings in his ear and in his lip, and baggy sweaters that look like they're from the corner thrift store. He works at home a lot. But he wears the suits when he goes out. He's the fourth child out of five, two elder brothers, and one elder sister. He's got a master's in philosophy, a bachelor's in visual arts, photography, and digital work, and a double minor in linguistics and rhetoric. He is, Roy thinks, perfect for Jason. In fact, he's wondering how Jason and Tim haven't met yet, since both of them mostly work from home. Tim Drake is also a dork, and it's only that much more amazing when he casually walks out of his apartment door in TARDIS-printed pajama pants and a Winter Soldier t-shirt. Tim Drake has a bicycle that he likes to use, but he also has a motorcycle. Roy doesn't actually think he can handle this. He tells Jason that. Jason sighs and kisses his cheek. "I really do love you." "Okay." Jason pats his cheek and goes to the roof for a smoke. Roy just blinks at the place he left behind, and wonders if the universe is plotting something that only Jason is privy to. It's not the first time that Roy's had that feeling. It will not be the last. "Are you pining?" Jason asks, and Roy glares. "I'm 29, I don't pine." "You're pining?" Jason's eyes widen. "Why the hell are you pining?" "I'm not. You could just ask him out instead of wallowing like the sad sack of shit you are. He has a boyfriend." Jason blinks. "You know?" Roy glares. "Don't tell me you haven't heard them having sex." Jason blinks again. Roy sighs. "Did you ask him if he was monogamous?" "Jesus, Jason, it's not something you just ask people." "Go ask him." "No, go ask him. I promise you, you're going to regret it if you don't." "Is that a threat?" Jason smiles. Roy heads towards the door. "I slept with Tim," Roy says, 2 months later. Jason actually stands up, walks across the room, takes Roy's face into his hands, and stares deeply into his eyes. And breathes at him. Roy is highly confused. "Was it good?" Jason asks. "For you. For him. Did he like it? Did you satisfy him?"
Roy squeaks.
This is important, Roy. I have to know. It's my job to know. It's imperative that I know.
Oh my fucking god! This is a new and entirely terrifying side of you that I've somehow never seen before.
Jason just shoots him the most annoyed look Roy has ever seen on the man's face.
You are the dumbest carrot, Jason declares.
Lets go of Roy's face and goes back to playing Portal.
I feel the need to tell you that my other bed partner is a little crazy, Roy says to Tim.
Tim hums, back pressed against Roy's chest, snuffles into his pillow, and squeezes Roy's leg between his thighs.
I know, that's why I moved out. What?
Tim sighs, turns his head, and kisses Roy's bicep.
You're the dumbest turnip.
Roy tells Jason about this. Because he tells Jason about everything. And Jason presumably tells his boyfriend everything. And it's not like Jason's boyfriend hasn't given Roy some good advice before via their Jason communication line. Jason just stares at him, grabs him by the front of his pants, drags him out the door.
I like to think that we've been gentle on you. Encouraging, supportive, guiding in a way, Jason says, reaching into his pocket and pulling out a key
that he puts into the lock of 304B. That we've been easing you into this.
Roy stares.
Clearly Tim was right about us taking a direct approach, Jason says, opening the door, dragging Roy into Tim's apartment, slamming him up against the door, and kissing him. Parts of Roy's brain are screaming hysterically. Other parts are turned on, and even more parts are dead.
You could have knocked, Tim says,
and Roy wheezes when Jason turns around, reaches out, cups Tim's face, and kisses him.
You finally decide to follow my advice.
Jason sighs.
I honestly didn't think he was that oblivious.
Tim titters, moves in closer, and flicks the lock on his door. Then he cups Roy's hip and kisses his cheek. The two manhandle him deeper into Tim's apartment and deposit him on the couch. Jason is on one side of him, arm around Roy's shoulders, and Tim is on the other side, legs swinging up and over Roy's lap, feet resting on the tops of Jason's thighs.
Roy, Jason says,
turning Roy's face to his. And Roy gets stupidly lost in Jason's blue-green make-up-your-goddamn-mind-eyes.
I want you to think really hard on the names Tim Drake and Jason Todd, and what you know about them.
Tim has one of Roy's hands in his lap and is petting his fingers.
You're a foster kid, and you're fucking crazy, Roy says. You went to Gotham U, you have a brother who is a cop, and you have a sister from Hong Kong. Your dad is a tool. You have a boyfriend who gives me great advice, and he is apparently okay with you seeing other people sometimes. Tim is the fourth in five kids. One of his siblings works in Hong Kong part of the year. His dad is a total tool. Roy feels part of himself shrivel up and die, then explode. Violently.
Jason smiles. It's a very pretty smile. Jason is very pretty. Jason is Tim's brother. Jason is Tim's brother and his boyfriend.
Which means Tim was the boyfriend giving Roy great advice. Tim is Jason's boyfriend. Tim is Jason's boyfriend. The person Roy's been hearing Tim have incredibly loud sex with is Jason.
You fucking knew this entire goddamn time, Roy says, glaring.
Well, I thought you knew, Jason says. Then I realized that despite how much I talked to you about him, you haven't actually met him. Which is weird, because Tim basically told me flat out the fourth time I slept with you that we'd make a wonderful ménage à trois. To which I realized, of course, he's fucking right. I mean, you both have the exact same bitch face, and you both have an unhealthy attraction towards explosive chemicals. I'm a science teacher, that's my fucking job, Roy turns to Tim. And you!
Tim blinks at him.
Me?
You enabled him! You're supposed to be a force of good!
Tim raises an eyebrow. Roy raises one back. Jason makes a sigh of appreciation.
No!
Roy and Tim say at the same time.
Well, I thought you knew, Tim says. Then Jason told me you didn't, and maybe this would have been a good idea to get you to like me. You know, like me for me, rather than feel obligated to like me because I'm Jason's boyfriend and you're Jason's something like a life partner.
You listened to Jason's idea?
You called me the hot guy in 304B. I wanted to know how that would turn out.
Tim kisses the back of his hand.
And I'm willing to admit it got kind of funny when we realized you honestly didn't know. I mean, Jason had been talking me into moving in across from him for ages. Donna and I even discussed me taking over their lease. I honestly thought you knew.
Well, I know now, Roy says, and Tim kisses his cheek.
Oh my god, do you even know how much stress you've caused me? I'm not young anymore, I can't handle this.
Good thing you've got us to settle down with then, Jason says, tips of his fingers ghosting over Tim's cheek. Roy sighs.
And on the upside, you don't need me to play messenger between you now.
I've always wondered about how our talks would go without Jason adding commentary every time he delivered a message. Tim adds on, thumb pressing against Jason's wrist.
You're a delightful conversant. In theory.
I like to think I'm a delightful conversant all the time. Jason kisses Roy's cheek at the same time Tim smiles.
I'm so in over my head, aren't I?
Tim licks Roy's palm, raises his eyebrow. Jason laughs.
Yeah, that was a stupid question.
Welcome to the other side of the hall, precious, Jason says.
We're going to be fantastic.
The end.